All right, well, I'm going to open back up to the scriptures for a little while tonight, and we're going to do another session on giving. And I want to talk about a very specific person and situation in the New Testament, in the book of Philippians, and give you guys some things to think about. There was a man who we know very little of, except an incident or two of his life, called Epaphroditus. And he's mentioned in the book of Philippians twice, and I want to read to you what it says about him. You'll find this in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. We'll start in verse 19. He says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father hath he served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me." All right. So, Paul was a missionary. He went out preaching to the Gentiles. Some of the places he went supported him. Some of the places he went did not support him. Some of the places he went, there was no Christians. Some of the places he went, he worked very hard to earn money to support himself. It's interesting to note that the apostles in the book of Acts were supported by the church. And when issues arose in the church, they recommended that the church hire 7 people that were full of the Holy Ghost, that could do the job that was being neglected in the church. Because Peter said, it doesn't make sense for us apostles to leave the Word of God and serve tables. So Peter wanted to make sure that the apostles were free to do the work of God. And so they lived off the church funds. The money that came into the church is what the apostles lived off. And so We have that level of ministry where you don't work at all, except you do work very hard in the things of the Word of God. And then we have the level where Paul was at, which he was a traveling man, world traveler, traveling all over the world preaching, and sometimes he got supported by the people and sometimes he didn't. And he had no regular support. There was nothing that he had that he knew for certain he was going to get. And those times when Paul was not supported by the churches that he was with, he worked and supported himself. And then, of course, you have the other general people of the New Testament or of the church who just simply are workers. And they are called upon to support the people who minister to them. Now, be careful. Don't go too far with that. Supposing there was a church of 2 people. One was the pastor and one was the person who sat in the chairs. The one who sits in the chairs works. The pastor doesn't, right? Wrong. Actually, there's no point whatsoever for a pastor to not work a job lest the work of the church were to so completely take up their time that they had no ability to work. And the church should certainly consider paying that person's salary. And remember what the scripture says about those who labor in the word and doctrine. He says that they should be counted worthy of double honor, double salary, okay? If you're going to take a preacher, if you're going to take Keith Daniel, for example, and be like, well, let's see, my salary is $30,000 a year, so if he works for us for a week, maybe we should pay him X amount of dollars. Whatever you think he's worth, God says double it for him. We want to make sure that the people who really do labor in the Word of God are well taken care of so they have no needs that will prevent them from doing the service of God. But most people who work in the work of God, unless you're in a big church or a giant or a revival or a church that's growing very much, there's no reason that a pastor can't also work. And that is a fairly major job sometimes for a person to discern if and when they are called to not work a job, or if they should simply work in the Word of God, or if they should also work a job. I would tend to think that it would be more up to their supporters to make that decision for them, and rather not themselves, because anybody can decide that they should work in the things of God and leave temporal work alone and quit their job. Anyone can make that decision. But if the people of God don't choose that it is their job to support them, then that man is going to have nothing to eat. It is better to let somebody else probably tell you when it is your place to quit your job than to tell yourself that, I think. But anyway, in this situation, we have Paul out as a missionary going out to these Gentile places where churches are not and planting churches and getting these churches set on their feet and teaching them and so on. And the Philippian church, Paul specifically mentions to them that they were forward to support him, but they didn't give him enough, because he says that Epaphroditus took on himself to support Paul to the point that he was working night and day trying to take care of Paul, and Paul says he did it to supply the Philippian church's lack of support to him. Because the Philippian church wasn't giving him enough to live off of, Epaphroditus took on his shoulders the job of doing it himself. Now, this is not the end of the story, because before Paul finishes this, at least, maybe he had all this information when he started writing, but at least before he finishes this letter to them, he writes more on this in the fourth chapter. Starting in the 10th verse, he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me." That isn't communication now as far as we talk, when we talk on a phone or talk personally to a person, but this communication is a matter of giving to him. That's an old sense that it's being used in. "No church communicated with me as far as giving, as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." So the Philippian church had been supporting Paul. "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So Paul sends Epaphroditus to the Philippian church after Epaphroditus has had a very serious sickness where he almost died. He gets recovered. The Philippian church hears that he's been really sick and is sad about it. So Paul sends Epaphroditus to see the Philippian church to comfort them. When Epaphroditus returns to Paul, he also brings a gift to Paul from the Philippian church. And in this situation, I want to talk just about the Epaphroditus idea, the way of life that Epaphroditus decided to choose. Because we tend always, when anybody in ministry tends to think or teach like their specific way of life is the right way of life. Now, I hope none of you guys ever get that from me, okay? If I work 80 hours a week and do things like help Keith Daniel and Ezra and stuff like that, that doesn't mean that's what Brandon has to do to be right with God. It could be that Brandon is supposed to quit his job and put himself full-time into ministry. And that's between Brandon and God and the church. And I want to make a comparison here because I believe that my dad had a very slight fault in this matter when he was speaking here in church, because he had made it a lifelong principle of his that he would only work as much as he needed to work to survive, and he would devote the rest of his time to ministry. And he did some teaching on that, and I think falsely he taught some of the people in the church that they should work part-time jobs instead of full-time jobs so that they had more time to study the Bible. Well, the fact of the matter is, that's always good if that is the place that God put you in life. But the truth is, some of those people who were working part-time jobs so that they could study the Bible should have been working full-time jobs and supporting my dad so he could study the Bible. That's what they should have been doing. And some of the people who were working only part-time, being encouraged to work less if they could work less and save more money and spend more time in the things of God, some of those people were not spiritual enough to make proper use of their time so that they could actually work part-time and be efficient. Now, listen, when you get somebody who's running a business, it's like, we know what it's like. There's a whole bunch of people in here who have businesses. And you get up too early in the morning every morning, don't you? Jason, how many times in the last 10 years have you felt like you got up at a good time of the morning? Like you were not tired anymore when you got out of bed. Does that happen much? Why do you work so hard? You know why you work that hard? Because you're driven to run a business. And you know, if you're going to be a full-time person in the gospel, studying the Word of God and teaching the Word of God, and you don't give that same level of devotion that a person would give to their own business, you shouldn't be being supported by the church. Okay? Work is work. Work is not play. Being a full-time pastor isn't a person who gets to go golfing, okay? Being a full-time pastor is somebody who actually works. And I can say for a fact that, I mean, I saw this in my dad. Every morning, 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning, maybe if he was lazy, he didn't get up till 5. 4 o'clock every morning, he's up. His books are out. He's writing. He's studying. He's reading. And this is what he did with his day. And I know when he was up because sometimes I would wake up when he would get up in the morning and fix the fire. And so some of those days when I was ambitious, I would get up and start my school. And by the time breakfast was done, I could have my school done. It's funny because other days it took me all day long to do my school. But I did do that sometimes when I got up at 4 o'clock and did my school in the morning when my dad got up. And it was a good feeling. But if you're going to work and your job is going to be the things of God, I absolutely agree with that, understand it, and those kind of people should be being supported by the church. But then that person should be working hard just like people who have a job work hard. It's not a lazy thing. It's not something to take lightly that you have a position where you are supported by the church. It's a job, and a very, very valuable and an important job. And so Epaphroditus, when he decides that Paul is one of those people who should be being supported, and he takes it upon himself to work, and he worked a little bit more than he was able to physically handle, and he got sick from it and almost died. That was a decision that Epaphroditus made for himself. For himself to do before God. And you notice that Paul did not write to the Philippian church and tell them that they should follow Epaphroditus. You know what he did? He wrote and he told them that they should follow Timothy, who was following him. And Timothy was probably not working a job, but was probably being supported with Paul. Epaphroditus, the life that Epaphroditus chose was a good thing, and it's excellent to see that kind of zeal in a person. But we do not go and therefore say, because I did this, you should do this. I want everybody in the church sick next week so we can buy something for Ezra. You know, that's not what we do. But I think sometimes, let me just back up here a minute. I have felt called to just about everything that life has ever offered to be done. Everything that there is to do, I've felt called to do. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I haven't had a lot of open doors to do most of the things that I've ever felt called to do. Like, for example, go preach to people in Russia, like D.L. Moody used to travel the country and do. I felt called to do that. But I've never gone to Russia. Now, the one thing that I will say that I do is that any time there is in my hand an opportunity to do anything that presents itself as an opportunity and I have the physical capabilities of accomplishing the job, I will do that thing. And for that reason, I have taken it upon myself to do some giving over the years of running my business to other people who are full-time in ministry. I've encouraged the church to do that. But I want you guys to stop and think very clearly here, because I want to tell you this. This is an absolute. Just because somebody in the church might be called of God to spend some of their money on some other person who is a preacher does not mean that that is your calling in life. It could be your calling to get married and have kids and stay at home and run the house. That could be your calling. It could be your calling to quit your job and go out in full-time ministry. And it could be your calling. Maybe you're a little bit more of a weaker person, a little bit sickly in life, and you're not super strong. And the amount of work that you're able to produce in a week is just enough to support your family. And maybe you have a couple extra bucks here or there, but nothing major. And it's just simply not your calling in life to be the kind of a person that Epaphroditus was when he decided that he was going to take the support of Paul on. And you should not in any way feel bad if that's who you are in life. You should not feel bad when you look at another person who might have been called of God in another direction to be somebody who supports a preacher. I don't think anybody is called of God to work until they get sick, though it is still very exciting to see that kind of devotion in people. Okay, I will admit that. I like what Epaphroditus did, though I don't think God wanted him to work till he got sick. Might have been, could have even been, that it might have been Epaphroditus' job to speak to the Philippian church and to find a couple of other people to share in the work with him. Could have been. But either way, we have the story of what happened here. And anybody who has the ability in any aspect of life, whether it is giving money to missions, or whether it is taking care of your family, or whether it's preaching in a church, or many, 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 many different situations in life, anybody who has those abilities should jump on it with all of their might and go. Do it. If your hand has found to do something, as Solomon says, do it with your might. Don't be lazy about it. Go get it and do it. But don't look at the other person next to you and be like, well, the pastor of this church is only working part-time so he can devote himself to ministry, so I'm going to do that. Or the next pastor that comes to the church is working double time, so I guess I'm going to do that. And, you know, the first pastor of the church already died, and the second one might die next. You never know. And then another one comes in, and that another one might smoke cigarettes. You don't just do something just because a pastor does it, okay? So, I personally think that God has given this church a little bit of a ministry where there was a number of young people here without children, but they had jobs, some of them still living at home, and working a job, and you work a job and live at home, you can earn significantly more money than you need to live on, and it opens up an opportunity to you. It opens up an opportunity to do something for God with that extra money. And if God has given you that ability and you like it and you pursue it, good, go. But just because somebody else is doing it does not mean that therefore you are called to do it too. And anyway, as I was saying, I do believe that this church has been gifted a little bit in a special way by God to support some things. And I recognized years ago when Brandon first brought Keith to the United States, I don't know if it was God himself that impressed me or if it was just something I felt in my heart. But the first time he came and spoke in our church, I said to Brandon, where's his wife? Can his wife come? And we got information about it, and it basically came down to the fact that the flying for both of them was just too expensive and most churches didn't want to pay for it. And I said, we are never ever going to invite Keith here to this church again, but what we don't invite his wife to come with him too. And I said, if nobody else wants to pay for it, I will. Now we found the church very ready to pay for it, and so we had Keith and Jenny come many, many times, and we were able as a church to help Jenny come to the United States with Keith and help pay for that ticket because she was coming anyway. She just wasn't going around to all the other churches. So we were able to help in that, and we were able to have her here too, and her ministry here has been very blessed as well as Keith's. That was a good thing. See, we could call ourselves the giver in that situation, but honestly, we were the receivers. But that was something that God blessed this church to be able to do in the life of Keith and Jenny. And I'm thankful that God gave us that ministry. It was an opportunity. And we can look at individual things like maybe I felt when I was 15 years old that I was supposed to go to Russia and go around and evangelize, and maybe it never happened. But what if maybe Keith was that evangelist that I was being called to take care of instead of myself? And if I can take care of Keith instead of go preaching, I mean, if that's what God puts in my lap, then it's an easier job. I will say that. It's an easier job. I'm sure I had the easy end of that job. So we have to be careful that if we do set ourselves out on a life where we're going to say that right now giving to somebody who is working in the work of God is a ministry that God put in our hands, then how should we operate under that? In those decisions, how should we operate that? You know, we should operate it in the same kind of zeal and the same kind of faith that a preacher of the gospel would go out with to preach the gospel to the heathen. Because we discussed this just recently. We talked about this as a church a few nights ago, where we were discussing the fact that we feel like this church is worn out. It's a lot of tired people. A lot of people that just work and work and work and work and work, and they're just tired out. But if the reason we're working is because we want a little bit of that extra money to do something like support Ezra as a missionary in Brazil, then why should we be tired about it? Then it should be our joy and happiness to do that work. And we should gain fulfillment and energy out of it because we're doing it to God. And if you're not doing it to God, then quit. God didn't tell you you had to support Ezra to be a Christian. All right? It isn't something that you were required to do. But if it's something that you want to do, then put your heart into it a little bit. Because if you understand why you're making the choices that you're making, and those choices are because you are serving God with it, that will not wear you out. In some respects, that will not wear you out. We still have physical limitations, as Epaphroditus did. But more than not, we will find energy and blessing in pushing ourselves a little bit to do something that is beyond normal. Now, the truth is, I have had, I forget, maybe three people over the last 10 years or so say something about this church, saying that they haven't ever met a church anywhere in their travels that gave like this church gave. That's a gift from God. That was something that God empowered us to be able to do. But if it's something that we did for God, then we shouldn't feel worn out by it. If we can help it, we should have joy in it. I don't know what all people in this church do, but the little few things that come silently to my ears, not from the people who do it, but from other people, I think that there is a vast array of people in this church that give a lot of money to the work of God. And I'm very happy for that. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a great thing. And if that's where we are right now as a church, if God has given us opportunities and abilities to do those kinds of things, then if you like that and you want to join in on it, get in the program and be a part of it. Deny yourself a couple of things that you might instead do if you want to spend money on things that aren't important, and get into the groove a little bit of finding out where you can be of service in the work of God and support it, because it is a good thing. And Epaphroditus here is remembered in the scriptures for his work for the Lord. Because it says, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. He didn't put any regard on his life. He almost died because he got sick, because he worked too much. It was for the work of Christ. So, if you got what I said, I'm telling you two things tonight very simply. If God has called you to do something other than pouring out money for people, then don't feel bad if you aren't just like somebody else in the church who you know is doing it. But do exercise your gift in the area that God did gift you. And if you feel like God did give you extra money and the ability to give, then do it with all your heart, like Epaphroditus did, just not quite till you get sick. You know, like back off before you get sick. if you can find out where that line is, might come a little bit sooner as we get older. Possibly. I don't know. You never know. I have known many people to say that they were stronger and healthier in their 80s than they were when they were young. These are Christian workers in the work of God. God gives strength when he finds a person who is actually willing to give everything they've got to God. He gives that person extra strength because, you know, God wants this work to go on too. He's the one who tells us to pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest. He's the one who also teaches us in the scriptures that it is our duty as people who are being ministered to support those who minister to us. Now, remember again, I'm not talking about myself in that situation. I do not believe that I am called to quit my job right now and minister in this church. I do not believe you guys would take good enough care of me to do that. Just kidding. I have no call from God to do that right now. He's given me a job. I need to work. I don't think I could handle it if I didn't. And so I'm not talking about me right now. Maybe someday there will be a preacher in this church that just needs to entirely quit a job and just work in the church. I think the church is just a little small for that right now. And I don't think it's a good thing for a person not to have a lot to do. I don't think that's a good thing. I think it's a very dangerous thing, especially you get a pastor when they're working with people. And you get a person who doesn't have absolute rock-solid morals and a good foundation under their feet and a lot to do, that person can get taken out by women so easily it's not funny. That's not a good thing, ever a good thing. We want people who are actually busy in the work of God and not in playtime, you know? So, my thoughts for the night. Remember Ezra's house situation. If it comes into your heart that you want to help do that, maybe we should communicate with each other maybe a bit or with Ezra and encourage him to do it and fill up the extra money that he needs. There's many, many, many other situations in life. I'm sure you guys are all well aware of people who could use our financial help in the work that God has called them to. And we should be forward to do that if we have opportunity to. And by the way, let me state another thing. There are situations in life where we may give that has nothing to do with supporting the work of God, but just for an example, let's say that Dad and Mom in their 60s are struggling a little bit on a financial end of things. And they happen to have raised 8 kids in their life. And these kids are all grown now and all have jobs. Before you get too far down the track of looking for something spiritual to do, check out your parents and make sure that they are being taken care of. This is not something that we as children just get to skip. We are very specifically told in Scripture to honor father and mother, which very specifically Jesus used in the sense of giving to their needs. All right? There isn't anything wrong with your parents being comfortable. There isn't anything wrong with your parents having the money that they earn being extra because the kids took care of their needs. There's nothing wrong with that. If you have parents, do not neglect to find out what their situation in life is and if there's anything that can be done to help them. And I'll tell one more quick little tidbit that I have watched a lot in my life, and I really enjoy. There are, at least in some situations in life, some Amish and or Mennonites who every time a person in their group gets married, the whole church gets together and buys them a house. It's easy to keep up with something like that if it is established. It would be very difficult for us to do something like that right now. But just keep the idea of that in mind. There is such a thing as people working together more than apart, where the things that we could do together might be very advantageous, more advantageous than each one of us doing our own thing by ourselves. Let me just give you an example here. There is a number of houses in this church that are owned by people that either they owe money on or have owed money on. And you make payments on those houses. Usually a lower-end house, you might make payments in tune to $600 a month, $500 a month. Sometimes you can get even lower. Let's just say $500 for a number. And you can go well up over $2,000 if you get into a more expensive house. But most people wouldn't be buying houses like that, especially not young people. But let's say that there was a church and there was 10 houses in the church that were all being made payments on, and that amounted to $5,000 a month. 10 houses at $500 a month is $5,000? You know that's $60,000 a year? You know, that church could support buying a couple of houses every 2 years for its entire existence at the same exact amount of money as their house payment would be, only it would be all principal and no interest, and nobody would be tied down to debt. Doesn't that make sense? It makes such sense to me. Like, could we, and I don't actually believe that this is taught in the scriptures, okay? I believe it is taught in the scriptures that we should be helpful to each other and bear one another's burdens and give to those that need and stuff like that. And so if a church were to ever do something like that, it would be a voluntary program. Do you want to do this? Does it make sense? Does it fit your budget? Would this be good for us? I think it's a good idea. I think it would be a great idea if the people in the church had more help from each other, less self-reliance, less reliance on a bank, a little bit more freedom, and that freedom comes because, okay, so boy and girl get married, the church comes together, buys them a house and puts them in it, and immediately this couple has $500 a month that they don't owe anything. Well, now this couple has $500 a month that they can send to a missionary, support the church, bring Keith and Jenny over from South Africa, help a person in the church in need. And of course, what might happen would be this person has $500 extra a month for toys. I can buy more water toys. I can buy more motorcycles. I can buy more of this. I can buy more of this. And that's not what we want. That doesn't get us anywhere. We want to actually be the kind of people who our focus, the focus of our eyes is on God. We want the things God wants. We want the work of God. And not to say that we get to a point where we believe it's sin to ever spend a dime on pleasure either, okay? Sometimes some of those things have some necessary parts in life. And you have to spend a little bit of money sometimes that's just perhaps considered a waste. All right, a little bit, I said. A little bit. You can get out of hand with that so fast, it's not funny. And so anyway, think about that also, because it's attractive to me. I think it would be a blessing and a benefit in the church if there was a little bit more people looking at each other rather than always only their own needs, and maybe a little bit of church help for this person or for that person, and getting them just ahead. Now, here comes the selfish people. Now, Nate and Crystal are probably the next people getting married in the church. We don't know. But perhaps Nate and Crystal are the next people getting married in the church. And I don't think that the church has any money to buy them a house, so it's extremely unlikely to happen. But supposing that we did, suppose that the church came together and was like, hey, we're going to buy Nate and Crystal a house and make them free to be able to help out in the work of God. And six other older people who've been paying on their house for 10 to 20 years stand up and be like, now, wait a minute, what is fair about this? Listen, if that's the way you feel, don't waste your time giving to anybody. Keep it for yourself. You see, God didn't require us to do things like this. All right, there is such a thing as selfishness, and if you feel selfish about your things, keep them. I'm not asking for you to give up things that you want for yourself. There are selfish people in life, and they scatter lightly and they reap lightly. When you're giving, you forget that you exist and you focus on the needs of another person. Now, I'm not suggesting tonight that we buy Crystal and Nate a house, okay? I don't think that is really a realistic possibility. I'm not suggesting it, but I am giving this theory out because I think sometimes that little devil can arise in us really easily when we do want to do something for somebody, but we want to make things fair. Whenever has life been fair to people? What's fair in life? When we give to God because He went out of fairness to Himself to go send His Son to die on the cross to forgive our sins. He wasn't very fair to Himself. That's the spirit that we need to give with. But I'm sorry, I'm going over time, and I'm going to quit.